Welcome to Podcast Insider. I'm Mike Dell, your host this week, and I've got a special guest host, Kate from the Blueberry Pro production team. She's the one that makes us sound smarter. How are you doing, Kate?
I'm doing really well, Mike. How are you?
Well, so far, so good. The fall is in the air up here for sure.
Oh, we still have summer down here. It's right now it's really foggy and pushing 70 degrees and just kind of that wet wool blanket weather. And by the way, you already sound smart.
Well, okay.
Well. Just
you just polish it for
and
us.
We just polish you. Yeah.
That's good. That's good. All right. Well, we got our normal mix of stuff today. We got some news. We got a best practice. We got some blueberry stuff. We got a pro tip from Toby. And the question of the week, we do not have an interview this week, although next week I'm going to. We'll talk about that in a bit. So I'd like to congratulate the winners of the People's Choice Podcast Awards. And for purposes of disclosure, that's run by Todd, my normal co-host, but not affiliated with Blueberry, but if you go over to podcastawards.com, the winners and all the nominees are listed right there on the front page. And if you want to watch the award ceremony, I think that's a YouTube video. Yeah, it is right there on the top. So, yeah, that's been going on now 16 years. Some of those, I remember back when they first started, you know, when Todd first started it in 2006, I think it was the first one I'd went to.
So all seven podcasts that were out that year were on the list.
Well, it was great, though. It was a live event at the Podcast and Portable Media Expo. I think they change the name of that conference every year. And anyway, he did it live there. It was in Ontario, California, and all the nominees were there. And they had live acceptance speeches and everything. And over the years, it's been, you know, live or it's been, you know, done on online. You know, it just depends on the year. But it's been in conjunction with various conferences sometimes. In the last few years, it's been on International Podcast Day.
That's an excellent day to give out an award.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the list of influencers for 2021. Impressive list. Amy Porterfield, Brene Brown, Joe Rogan. Of course, Joe Rogan.
Of course.
Kevin
he's
Smith,
not doing
Tim
a podcast
Ferris.
Anymore.
No, he's not. He's doing a Spotify. But there you go. Nice lineup. Good choices. Very good choices. Thank you, Todd, for starting that.
Yeah, and he added a lot of categories this year, too. So
yeah, arts, podcast listening, manager tools, comedy category, best Spanish-hosted podcast, best Black-hosted podcast, female host, wonderful categories.
Yeah, like I said, he expanded them quite a bit. For the longest time, it was a set bunch of categories. Anyway, let's press on. And, oh, yeah, we get to talk about the great Facebook outage. Did you survive it?
I'm not on Facebook. Well, so good. I don't care. I care for our clients who, despite, you know, pounding things into their head that they need their own .com or .org or .net or .tv or .io .whatever. I mean, it's kind of the equivalent. Facebook going down was rather the equivalent to having your electrical grid fail.
Yeah, kind of.
For a lot of businesses, because a lot of businesses think that if they have a Facebook business page, they're good. They don't need a website. They don't need an email list. They don't need any other, you know, content. And then it disappeared. And their entire business life disappeared. I can't even imagine the panic for those 6 hours and the revenue that was lost for those 6 hours.
Yeah, and not even just businesses, but, you know, some people. You know, when you say the internet, to a lot of people, Facebook is the internet.
Is the internet. Yeah, right. And it's not the internet.
Yeah. You know, there's lots of other stuff out there. And it's, you know, it's a lot less vulnerable. And, you know, Facebook, they like to, you know, a lot of these social media, they like to keep you there any way they can. And, you know, they've got it down to a science.
They do.
You know, to keep you, you know, you ever accidentally get on TikTok?
No.
Oof, I'm telling you. You want to talk about you can waste hours on TikTok and yeah. and you know, and they're darn good at it. My wife, she'll, you know, I don't do it, but my wife will sit there and I say, what are you doing? I'm watching TikTok, you know, and then I'll do something. I'll come back an hour later and say, what are you doing? I'm still watching TikTok. Like, oh, you got to put that down.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. See, that's one of the reasons why I deleted all social media from my life. I'm going to be dead entirely too long to waste that much time.
Oh yeah. You know,
watching some data gathering, sell my personal information organization. You just, yeah. you don't get to co-opt me that way. If they're all free, which means they're not free. It means that the user is the product. And that just creeps me out.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing was, Facebook, Instagram, what is it? Instagram and WhatsApp. And I don't know, there's a couple other thing.
WhatsApp. And there were a couple of others. Too bad Twitter didn't go down.
Yeah, well, that was what I was going to bring up, is Twitter almost went down because everybody migrated there from Facebook to see what was going on with Facebook. It was, you know, fun doing Twitter searches on, you know, Facebook down. And I mean, they were coming in like a fire hose.
Wow. Wow. I bet. Yeah, that makes sense. You're going to go to the only available other platform.
Yeah. Now we use Facebook a little bit for this, that, and the other thing, and, you know, customer communication and, you know, promotions and stuff like that. But yeah, you can't live there.
No, and that's a good segue for just talking briefly about what Toby's pro tip is. It's to your goal, the use of Facebook. The best use of Facebook is to get your followers off Facebook and onto your website and into your email list and CRM.
For sure. But yeah, we'll definitely let Toby expand on that.
He's got a lot to say about that.
Very good. And I'm sure we'll come back to this subject. It looks like in our notes that might happen.
Yeah, I know. I'm in the notes. I'm like, and I did it again. And I talked about it again because it's, you know, the blueberry way. You guys, you and Todd have been preaching this for what, a couple decades now?
Yeah.
Or 102 years.
Yeah. There you go.
About hosting your show on a website. That way you're not vulnerable to events like this. You are not hostage to somebody else's company.
I mean, you know, your web host may go down. That happens from time to time, but it's pretty rare.
When's the last time WordPress went down?
Yeah, WordPress doesn't go down usually, but
never heard of it going down, at least not in my tenure.
Right. But, you know, like, you know, if you're doing a WordPress site, say on GoDaddy, and GoDaddy has a hiccup, you know, on one of their servers, it happens. But, you know, the internet, I mean, look, Facebook is the, you know, probably the biggest website out there, if you want to call it a website. And they can't even keep their stuff from going down once in a while. So, you know, it's not perfect, but, you know, your website is less likely to go down than some service that, you know, or, you know, and the whole thing is, as we keep talking, like you said, we've been preaching it. You know, if Facebook goes down again, you know where to get a hold of us, you know, because we're not on Facebook as a primary place. You know, podcastinsider.com here, blueberrypro.com for your branch of it. And, you know, we're always going to be there. And even if it goes down, that's where we're going to come back to. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And you can, and because we have, you know, a way to gather emails and stay in communication with people, if we do go down, you're going to get an email about it.
Sure.
Letting you know, this is the problem. This is what we're doing. This is when we anticipate it being fixed. We're going to keep you in the loop on these things so you don't freak out.
All right. So rumor has it, Ashley from Hot Pod was saying that Heavyweight, one of Gimlet's shows, is going Spotify exclusive. And I didn't find any write-up about it, but if you go to their, and I do it in air quotes, website,
yeah,
for Heavyweight,
yep,
you know, all there is a button that says listen on Spotify. So I think quietly they've made that an exclusive.
Wow. They seem to be vacuuming up shows at a very rapid clip.
Yeah, Spotify owns Gimlet, so I'm surprised they didn't make more of Gimlet's shows exclusive anyway, but, you know, who knows? You know, you'd think that, you know, being exclusive on any one platform, I guess there's maybe a place for it, but I don't recommend it for most.
I don't recommend it really for anyone, but if you're going to, and I hate saying anything even remotely positive about this, but there are positives to be found if you look. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's making Spotify so popular is the 15 to 35 crowd demographic, primarily because it offers the marriage of music and podcasting. Yeah. It's one-stop shopping. So that convenience is what drives the bulk of their traffic, is that convenience.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They can, you know, set up their playlist to do their podcasts and their playlists and their music. And whereas, you know, you can't really do that effectively with Apple. You can't really do that effectively with you can do it with iHeart.
Right. Yeah.
But Spotify's got the corner on that particular market.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny that certain shows do really, really well on Spotify and certain shows don't do well at all. Like, you know, tech related shows do not do well on Spotify.
Because that's not their audience.
Yeah, because their audience is, you know, people looking for entertainment.
Entertainment. The story-based podcasts do really well on Spotify. If you have a business podcast, it's not going to do as well on Spotify. You want that broader audience where they can get you everywhere.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just a good plan to be everywhere anyway for most of us. Like I said, there is some use cases for exclusivity, you know, if you're that popular and you can sell your show, well, that's another whole thing. But, you know, I don't know whether it's good or bad. You know, I have a hard enough time getting people to listen to a free podcast. Really,
but if somebody threw a million plus at you it'd be hard to turn that down.
Oh, heck yeah. You know, someone wants to buy my shows, you know, any show that I do that's mine, then, hey, you know, write the check. I'll probably cash it.
Exactly. Might not show up at the mic the next day, but
yeah, and I'm not, you know, not afraid to sell out. But anyway,
there's an honest man.
There you go. All right. Well, speaking of podcast, what is it? Podcast One is trying to find the next big podcast star. You put that in the notes there. What's that all about?
Well, it was an interesting thing because I read that and I'm like, how do you find the next podcast? I mean, I love a good podcast competition, promoting the creativity and the innovation and seeing what people have as ideas for shows and watching them make them. And I love that entire process. So I'm always a little bit excited when someone announces we're doing a podcast competition and the winner gets a grant to produce the rest of their show. This one is a corporation that wants, it's like I wrote Indie Pod meets Corporate Pod. How do you determine what's the next big hit?
Yeah, it's weird because shows that you wouldn't think would have any legs whatsoever get really big. And, you know, like I look at Dan Carlin, you know, he breaks every single rule and best practices for a podcast, yet he's super popular.
Yep. And I pulled a list from the BBC on just television shows that no one saw coming. Yep. As huge hits. Stranger Things on Netflix, which became a huge thing. Star Trek Next Generation. Nobody thought that was going to go anywhere. Yeah, Sherlock.
Man, I'm a big Trekkie here.
Me too. Oh my gosh. Just verbatim love the show. The X-Files. Nobody thought that was going to go anywhere. Game of Thrones was panned widely. So what is a hit to somebody is an absolute flop to someone else. So there's this podcast called Sleep With Me.
Oh, yeah. I'm familiar.
Enormous hit. I use it because, you know, when the hamster hits the wheel, there's no sleeping.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Just a guy reading boring stuff in a monotone voice that is a narcotic. Put you to sleep. Nobody expects
that. I do that naturally. So, you know, you could listen to one of my shows. And
there you go. I'll just listen to Mike.
Yeah.
But nobody ever thought that would be a huge hit. And it's a monster show with huge sponsorship.
Yeah. I've noticed that the last few times I've tried listening to it, that there, you know, there's like the first 10 minutes of ads or something, but
which will knock you out right there.
Yeah. I noticed on the list from the BBC Seinfeld, you know, I do a show called Mike Dell's World, and I always joke that it's a show about nothing.
Which is how Seinfeld pitched their show.
Exactly.
To executives. It's a show about absolutely nothing. Just like
somewhere on my cartboard here, I have the promo where my wife says, "A show about nothing."
That's nice. No, I love it. I love it. And I'm going to circle back on the sleep with me thing.
Okay.
They had no danger with all of their sponsors when Facebook went down because they have their own .com.
Yep.
Nobody lost a dime. I'm going to pound that into the ground. Please.
That's okay. Beat that dead horse.
My darlings, there's a reason we beat this dead horse. It's for your safety. It's for your continued success and prosperity. Get your own .com.
Yeah. And it's, yeah. And the thing is you know, websites are easy to get now. The way they use, you know, the way that used to be, you know, you had to be some sort of an engineer to set up a website.
Well, now it's just WYSIWYG, point and click. What you see is what you get.
You get with a reputable web host and you know, one that does WordPress, hit a button to install WordPress, log into the thing and start
doing going. Perfect.
Super easy.
Yeah.
Why not? The pickier you get, the harder it gets. Okay.
So I guess the moral of the story is don't be picky.
Don't be as picky.
Yeah. Yeah. Be discerning, but not picky.
Yeah, you know, like I get, you know, you and I both get customers that just obsess about the most small, dinky little thing.
There's a comma that's been misplaced. Yeah. It's like there are about 2.9 million words in the English language, and none of them will help me tell you how much I want to hit you with a chair right now.
I knew this would be fun.
But seriously, we love our clients. They're people. But I do want to hit you
once in a while. Yeah, every once in a while, you get the one that's, you know, just obsessed about the little thing. You know, like my favorite one is my artwork looks blurry in X app.
Every app translates the data differently.
Oh yeah,
and we can't control that. Personally want control over every single podcast distribution app available so that I can control how things show up for my clients. Sadly, nobody will give me that job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I want to go into Apple. You know, Apple won't give me the login to their setup, but, you know, I wish I could. Where were we at?
You are going to talk about YouTube?
Yeah, podcasts? YouTube.
This is an ongoing argument.
Yeah, you know, people are trying to redefine the word podcast, and I guess that's okay. You know, words change over time. But podcastbusinessjournal.com, you know, there's a lot of people out there that have YouTube channels, and they say, oh, well, go listen to my podcast. It's on YouTube.
Well, their podcast may be on YouTube, but a YouTube video is not a podcast.
No, but you could, like, when we record the show live, it's live on YouTube. It's live on Facebook. And I don't know where else Todd puts it up live. And then afterwards, there is a YouTube video of this podcast.
Right. But it lives on an RSS feed. The podcast itself.
Yeah. Think of podcasting. On an RSS feed. Yeah. Think of podcasting as a distribution method.
Exactly.
Okay. So, you know, I may be dating myself, but Paul Harvey.
Oh, I loved Paul Harvey.
Yeah, he used to do a show called The Rest of the Story where he would, you know, tear apart something. Yeah, same, kind of like what Mike Rowe does nowadays with The Way I Heard It. Okay. But Paul Harvey would broadcast that from a TV studio, and certain TV stations would pick it up as a little 5-minute thing. Radio stations would pick it up as the audio. So was that a TV show or was that a radio show?
It was both.
Yeah. So you got a YouTube video of a podcast. Well, the podcast part is what's distributed on RSS. Mm-hmm. The YouTube part is a YouTube. And the Facebook part is a Facebook.
And it's static, which, again, speaks to the malleability and reach. Well, not malleability, but malleability and the reachability of podcasting.
Yep.
Podcasting can go anywhere and be accessible to anyone. And everybody knows this already. I don't know why I'm saying it, but I'm saying it again anyway. I could, I mean, even if you're on YouTube, even if your podcast is on YouTube, people sometimes find it hard to watch a video. Now, if it's a static image with just your audio attached to it on YouTube, it doesn't go anywhere, but you still have that ease of use. Pop your earbuds in and you're listening to your playlist on YouTube.
Yep.
And you can go for a walk and not have to watch it.
Of course, famously, we always say we don't care how you listen as long as you listen.
As long as you listen. So there's no downside to being on YouTube, even though it's not technically an RSS feed podcast. Who cares?
Yep.
You can't be in too many places.
No, you know, be everywhere you can reasonably be. Now, I say reasonably be because I get customers that freak out that Pandora didn't pick up their show. Well, Pandora is so infinitesimally low on the totem pole of podcast listening apps. We don't see downloads from, not that they're bad to be there, but don't freak out because you're not there, because they don't like to take shows that are brand new because they don't want dead shows on Pandora. And, you know, unless you've done 5, 6, 7, 8 episodes, they don't know you're going to stick around. So they're picky about who they put on Pandora. It has nothing to do with whether you're hosting at Blueberry, Lipson, you know, wherever. It doesn't matter. It's the fact that your show's new. All right. Well, I think that's news and opinion there. So, sort of like Paul Harvey. Now we're up to the best practice, and you know, we're going to talk about the same thing.
I'm going to let you talk about it this time.
Okay, well, the best practice for any business, especially podcasters, is to have your own website where your content will never go offline. Now, we, like I said, beat the dead horse up in the news section, and we do this, you know, all the time. But again, you know, if you're relying on, you know, somebody else's real estate to build your building on, you know, I don't know. It's around here, our airport, now this is a weird analogy, but our airport has a commercial section along the main road that they lease land to businesses. Okay. So right now there's a Costco, you know, that they built on however many acres of land out by the edge of the airport, but Costco doesn't own that property. And at some point, you know, whatever contract or whatever, you know, the airport can say, okay, we're done. Get that building off our property, you know? And that's kind of the same thing you're doing. If you're building your show or your business on Facebook or on Twitter, or, you know, I don't know any other examples of, you know, Instagram, I don't know. But if you're building all your stuff there, or, you know, even podcasting, if you're building your podcast brand on, you know, your RSS feed and the landing page and everything is coming from your podcast host, you don't own it. You're renting it. Oh, does that make any sense?
It makes complete sense. Don't ever be anywhere where you can be evicted.
Yeah. I mean, you know, be everywhere, but always have home base. That's, you know, the other thing.
Right.
You know, I got a lot of friends, believe it or not, that are full-time RVers. Most of them do have a house somewhere, or at least a place to park that they own somewhere, because you always have to have some way to get home, some way to go home. And if you're, you know, your whole, you know, business is built on the web, then you should have your little corner of the web. All right, Blueberry News. I have a blog post. Let's see, boost listenership with special episode series. I didn't actually read this article, so
neither did I.
On me, but. It's done by one of our many ghostwriters. We give them credit. Writers. This was by David Day. He's the co-founder of the Horror Movie Talk podcast. So.
And he's alive and well and not a ghost.
Yes. He's. Well, I got a picture of him anyway. I can't go any further than that because I haven't met him. But anyway, he wrote the article. I'm sure it's really good. But I have to be honest, I did not read it.
I didn't get a chance to get to it either. It's on my reading list. It has not yet happened.
We always try. So anyway, we always have blog posts, and of course, we publish this episode or any of these episodes over at podcastinsider.com, which will take you to a special page on blueberry.com where you can subscribe and read and do whatever else. We have all kinds of stuff on there. By the way, the winner of our free year of hosting, Natty Bumper Car, if you're familiar with him. That's a stage name, obviously.
It's an epic stage name.
Yes. Well, he's been podcasting forever. He does the Natty Bumper Car podcast. And anyway, he's going to be on next week as our interview. But he won the free year for giving us feedback on our new dashboard.
Oh, nice.
We have a little contest going on there. So he's going to be getting all his podcast hosting gratis for the next year. And hopefully I'm going to be interviewing him in the next week and we'll have it for next week's episode.
So that's quite a prize.
That's the plan anyway.
Okay. I will be here to edit when you do.
All right. Very good. Let's see. PowerPress 8.7.4 is out. Well, that's geeky and we shouldn't really say that. But anyway, we had some minor bug fixes and somebody pointed out a typo in one of the menus. I know. It's crazy.
Oh, my gosh. But, those eagle-eyed clients. We love them.
So anyway, Ben fixed the typo and a couple other minor bugs and a new version out. It's not critical, but you know, always want to stay up to date.
Yeah, but for those of you grammar Nazis who saw that typo, thank you for the feedback. It is now fixed.
Yes.
I love it when people find typos and stuff because my eyeballs don't see them.
It's hard when you're working on something yourself, you know, like I could write, you know, all day and then reread it and rewrite it and reread it and rewrite it and everything else. And I'll send it over to Mackenzie or Kathy on our team to look it over and they find all kinds of crap.
Exactly. So. That's exactly. I'm very grateful to the inventors of Grammarly.
Oh yes. I rely on it all the time.
Yeah. I'm like, I didn't even know that was a thing. How does that? So I just let it fix my
stuff. I have to argue with it sometimes though, but this may be me showing my age again, but Grammarly wants you to, only do one space after the period in a paragraph.
No, there's two.
I know. I always do
I'm
that.
Old school too.
But then, of course, Mackenzie will argue the other way. So
that's new age stuff.
It is what it is.
I like the visual distance between thoughts. Okay, so let's go over to the Blueberry Pro Tip. Toby is going to again be beating the dead horse of why only using social media is dangerous and how to fix that.
Hi, this is Toby from Blueberry Pro Production. Back in the day, a long time ago, I don't know, over 20 years ago, my first computer was a PC. And whenever anything would go wrong with it, I would phone up the shop where I got it, or I'd phone up the manufacturer. And 9 times out of 10, they would tell me that it had nothing to do with them. And they would refer me to the person that made the monitor or the person that made the printer or the person that made the processor or the keyboard or what have you. And I'd run round and round and round. And I didn't have any control over what was happening with my computer. And it really annoyed me. And then one day someone introduced me to Macs. Now, I'm not poo-pooing the PC crowd. I know people that use them love them. I always find that people that use PCs know how to do things. They're kind of geeks and they enjoy fixing things. Whereas with Macs, you know, you don't really need to know how a computer works. You just need to own it. And if there's a problem, you go to Mac store, you go to the Genius Bar, and whatever's wrong with it, whether it's the screen or the keyboard or the printer or some bit of software is not working, you just take it to that one place. So as a customer of Apple products, I always have one place to go. And the company now is obviously so big that pretty much I could be anywhere in the world and I could find a Mac store and get it sorted. Or I could phone up or email them and get to a central hub and get my problem probably fixed, I would say 90% of the time, without any problem at all. So that saves me time. Putting your work, whether it's a Word document you've written on a computer or a podcast, into someone else's hands is a dangerous game. Only having a Facebook page, only having Instagram, only having socials. I don't care how many followers you've got on there, how many subscribers you've got on different platforms. All of that, you put all of that at risk if you don't have somewhere else that you own and that you have control of, and your listeners can come to you to that one central place where you've got your flag in the sand that says the name of your podcast on it. And in our world as podcasters, that is your own website. That's your own .com. That's the equivalent of you being Apple and having your own Apple stores. Because when Facebook went down yesterday, people didn't stop buying Apple computers. During that time, during that 6 or so hours that happened, anyone that went to Facebook to spend money wasn't able to do so. Anyone that went to Facebook to find somebody wasn't able to do so. The only way they were able to find someone was to find them via other channels. So it's your job as a podcaster to make sure that you have a .com that you own and that you only use Facebook as an additional added extra. Now, I am not for 1 minute saying to you that you shouldn't be on Facebook, because Facebook is where the people are. But the certain people that you need, the certain fans that you want, certain listeners you want, certain customers you want, they're on Facebook, but so is everyone else. So your job is to remove them from Facebook in the nicest possible way and have them sign up on your website so that you have permission to get in contact with them, because that's where your list lives. It should live in your own CRM, on your own mailing list, so that when Facebook goes down, you are not affected. And there are countless, countless ways that people will have lost money because they had their eye over on the social media that is Facebook and Instagram yesterday. And the ones that continue to win, the people that it didn't affect, are the people that have their own .com. And that should be the same for you as a podcaster. You want people to identify themselves to you. So primarily only use Facebook as an additional added extra that you use as a fishing lake to get those fish, those listening fish, away from Facebook and over to your list, which means that, sure, you can update them on Facebook if it's working, but you always email them directly, which is definitely the place to be, to have space, to have permission to have space in someone's inbox is something that you're going to need to earn, but something that if you've got that permission, the biggest social media network site in the world going down will not affect you. So that is my tip for today.
All right. Well, thanks, Toby. And yes, we're still beating that horse, but it's very, very important. And, you know, the whole Facebook outage just drove that point home this week.
So. It really did. We got a lot of panicked emails and Slack messages from clients.
Yeah, I actually got one that said, you know, how am I going to promote my show? Facebook is down. I don't know.
Well,
I didn't even realize it was down.
For those people who are not on Facebook and promoting their show conventionally, it's a little different process.
Yeah, you know, and like I said, there's nothing bad about using those services. It's just
not at
all.
Don't
use it as primary.
Exactly. And that was, as Toby said, that's, you know, that's Facebook is where the people are. And your job as a podcaster or anyone who's using Facebook or any of their subsidiary companies to promote your stuff, your job is to pull them off of Facebook and into your ecosystem.
Yeah, I get that once in a while where they'll say, well, what should I share? You know, when I put out a podcast post, what should I share? And I say, well, the link right to the post on your site, you know, but what about Apple? What about, no, because if you share an Apple podcast link on your Facebook page and I'm on my Android phone walking around out in the park, I can't do anything with that.
Not a thing.
You know, I have to wait till I get home and get on the computer to use an Apple link or whatever, who knows?
Or any other link. So you're better off being, again, with your own .com that shows up everywhere.
All right. So, question of the week. I get this question quite a bit. You know, people get all wrapped around the axle about ratings, but the question is, are ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts important? And you and I both sort of had answers in here that we put in. And the truth is yes and no. It can be important. It's great for social proof. It's great for indicating what you're doing right or wrong. You know, you can get some good advice from your listeners that way. Although you would hope that they would have a more direct way of doing it instead of through Apple reviews, but take it where you can get it. And then, it's also a good ego booster, might give you that little push to keep going if you're getting discouraged that you're not getting much feedback anywhere else. So it does not help you with the ratings in Apple, at least not currently. It may in the future.
Well, they've changed their algorithm. They no longer push you anywhere based on ratings and reviews. It doesn't even factor into how they work that system, and they're geographically limited. Ratings and reviews only show up in the country of origin for the podcast. So if I'm in Norway podcasting, but I'm listening in the United States, I don't see the ratings or reviews. So how can you reasonably equate that? That's one of the reasons why ratings and reviews don't push you up to the top of any list, because it's geographically limited.
Yeah, and a lot of those lists on Apple are, as far as I know, they've always been just based on new subscriptions over X amount of time.
Amount of time. That's exactly right.
And they wouldn't give you, they won't give you the X.
No, they will not give you that X.
But, that's really it. So if you, you've got a show that, spikes and you get a whole bunch of subscriptions on Apple or followings or whatever they call them now.
I think it's follows.
But whatever, you get a whole bunch of that at Apple, that's going to push you up the charts. And there's nothing else that will do that.
Right.
So ratings and reviews, I hear so many podcasts, especially from the big companies. It really helps us out if you rate and review on a podcast.
Yeah, so 1990s.
That call to action it's a waste of a call to action. If you ask me, send them to your website. Jeez, let's beat that horse.
For more information, go to myfabulouspodcastwebsite.com.
There you go. That's the best way. That really helps.
There it is. And there we did it again.
Yeah, we beat that horse. That poor horse.
Poor horse. He's like, just let me die. The minute everybody has their own .com, we will happily have a ceremony and bury you, poor dead horse.
Yeah, and a friend of the show, Daniel J. Lewis, friend of the show is kind of a weird thing, but Daniel's a friend of both Todd and I, and I don't know if Kate, if you know him or not, but he does a service called mypodcastreviews.com, and it's unique in the fact that you could get all your reviews from all the different countries in Apple, and it also, he does Stitcher and Podchaser and CastBox, and it's all in one place. It's $5 a month. It's well worth it if you really want to keep track of your reviews on the various countries' Apple stores. So go check out Daniel's thing over at mypodcastreviews.com.
That's a handy little tool right there.
Yeah. So let's see. I think we covered everything, didn't we?
I think we did.
All right, very good. Well, if you got a question you'd like us to answer on the show, just drop an email to me, mike@blueberry.com. Please send audio, text, or video. Audio would be kind of fun. I could send it to you and you could
I would love it if people sent over audio questions for the question of the week.
Yeah.
We install something on the website that lets them record?
We've tried that before and and we've had some technical difficulties with our templates to make that work right. So we're working on it. We're working on it.
I would love that, because having an actual customer ask their question and have us answer it on the show, I was going to say live, but it's not, would be terrific.
Sometimes it's live.
sometimes it is live, but the caller probably wouldn't be live at the time. That would be an edit in.
All right. So the best place to get any support for any Blueberry products or services is our ticket system rather than direct emails, because that gives the whole team access to those, and you get faster service. Of course, we're coming to you this week from the Blueberry Pro Studio in Southern Michigan. Is that what you call your studio?
The Blueberry Pro Production Studio.
Okay. Wasn't sure what you called it down there. And of course, I'm in Blueberry North. One more thing. if you want to schedule a one-on-one with Todd, that's a little consulting call with somebody that really does know something about podcasting. He does that for free, a little 30-minute thing. Email todd@blueberry.com. If you want to schedule a tech checkup with me, and these are for hosting customers only. You know, I'd love to be able to do it for everybody, but just don't have that kind of time. But if you want me to check out your PowerPress setup or your Blueberry feed setup just something of that nature, do it 30 minutes with me. Email mike@blueberry.com. All right. Catch you guys later.
Have a great day.